Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep minute by minute into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, John.
And I am Zach.
And we are back with a Friday episode. We are rounding this week of choreography up because yesterday we had quite the cliffhanger where Fade allowed Lanville to, you know, lunge past his grasp. And we're just going to go right into it. We're talking about minute 79 through 80. And mid-lunge, we see Fade disarm Lanville, take the knife, and quickly run it into Lanville's stomach. Lanville, we knew you briefly.
Not as nearly as well as we should have, but damn, what a good character.
Yeah.
So good. I'm going to miss not being able to wax poetically about Lanville, because he truly is one of the best like side characters in this whole movie.
You know, there's something we've been neglecting to bring up about Lanville this whole time. And I'm ashamed that we forgot to bring it up, because we've had several times where we've seen it on screen, but we didn't talk about it. Lanville's left forearm, there is an Atreides eagle that is carved into his skin, and it's a very simple, you know, stylization of the Atreides eagle, where it's just, you know, some vertical and diagonal lines that make the eagle's appearance.
Right. You know, yeah, you're right. We didn't talk about that because that is one of the big, like, that's mentioned in the books as how Fade knows that these are Atreides soldiers.
Yeah.
Or soldier in the book, is because he has that. I think it's a brand in the books.
It's a brand in the book, but it looks like a scar or a cut. In the movie.
Yeah.
But that is something I wanted to bring up because we've neglected to bring it up on a couple different occasions. So, oops. Yeah.
And well, and as Lanville lunges, this is where you really get the good shot of it.
Yeah.
Right here. Yeah. I mean, it's a very quick turnaround. His arm is extended. Fade just folds the knife back and redirects it right into Lanville's chest.
And as he stabs Lanville, the crowd and the, you know, music goes silent, and we have a moment between these two fighters where Fade presses his forehead to Lanville's and gives him some parting words. You fought well, Atreides.
Yeah.
Which I feel like is the only moment of kindness that we ever see from Fade.
I would not classify it as kindness. I would classify respect. It as respect.
Yes. Sure.
It is, you know, he is a psychopath.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He's not being kind to Lanville, but he is being respectful.
Real recognizes real.
Exactly. That through and through.
Yeah.
And he kind of brings him in for like an embrace after this.
Yeah. Well, and then I was going to say, and then his kindness immediately ends because he violently rips the blade out of Lanville, and we see Lanville's body collapse to the ground.
Yeah. He stays on his knees for like half a second and then just, falls.
Yeah.
The picadors, when he falls, give their like X salute.
Yeah. They do a cross of their banderillos above their head.
Yep.
And you know, Fade is taking it all in. The crowd's going fucking nuts.
Showboating.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's your birthday, right? What are you going to do?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I feel like the ref should have called an XF celebration, penalty for this, but you know,
not if you're paying the ref,
I guess. Yeah. They're on your side.
Yeah. Because everyone knows it's all scripted.
Yeah.
WWE.
Well, not this one.
The NFL. It's all scripted. No, I'm just kidding. I have no fucking... Well, I know
we the have WWE to call it the big game, John.
Oh, shit. That's right. Well, I didn't say...
Superb Owl?
Yeah.
The big game.
But we do follow the camera up to Vladimir's box where he looks on. And I think... If there's any emotion Vladimir feels in this moment, it's not happiness, it's not relief, it's almost disappointment.
I read that very different.
Okay.
I read that as he sits back satisfied.
But he doesn't look satisfied.
When does he ever look anything other than just pissed?
Fair. I don't know, because we then smash cut to him looking very satisfied in his dude soup.
Well, okay, before we dive into that, like he dove into his dude soup. Part of the conversation that Vladimir has with Hasimir Fenring at the beginning of this chapter in the book is the reason that the Fenrings are at or on Gaty Prime for this celebration is in part to basically do an assessment of Fade.
Yeah.
To make sure that he is good enough to become the heir of to this family. This is something that the Emperor wants to make sure, like, that they're not just moving in random people to head up these families, that the person who is, you know, moving into the, you know, the barony, I guess, in this case, or the dukedom for Paul's case, would be someone who can basically play nice with the other houses and the Imperium.
Yeah.
So you have to have the Emperor's blessing before you pass on your titles or choose a successor.
Sure.
Now, part of the deal that the Baron got out of the whole let's murk up the whole Atreides family situation was that he would have free reign and to pick an heir without Emperor's consent. So he's weirded out that the Fenrings are here to do this assessment. He's like, I don't understand what the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah.
But after they see Fade fight and the, I won't call it respect, or it's not really respect in the books, but just strength that he shows in the books, they give the blessing.
Yeah.
So I'm taking the Baron's look at the end of this moment as us seeing that Vladimir is satisfied with how Fade reacts and his actions in the fight.
There is one thing I forgot to mention before the dude soup. We do cut to Margot one last time for this week, where Margot in the movie seems to be satisfied as well because she says he's impressive indeed.
Yep.
And then we cut to,
well, we get Fade walking out of the tunnel to the locker rooms and then dude soup.
Yeah. Then we cut to no longer the black and white shots of the outside.
Still very muted colors, but not
very muted colors, yeah. But you know, people have skin tone and skin color.
Sure.
Again.
Sure.
Vladimir's dude soup is milky at best. It's not comfortable.
Did you notice his finger here?
Yeah.
Just his, like, what is it? His ring finger on his right hand or middle finger on his right hand?
Yes.
Yeah. It looks necrotic, man. It looks just like jet black.
Well, no, that's his shield.
On the finger?
Yeah.
No, the whole finger was black.
Yeah. The ring that's on his finger for his shield is a whole finger ring.
Oh, I missed, or maybe I forgot that from the first movie.
Yeah.
I remember it being,
because they make a point to show it in the first movie.
Interesting.
It's like a whole finger long claw looking thing.
I was taking this is kind of just a residual injury from the attack he's had.
So Art and Soul goes into the injuries from the attack and everything, and it's all his respiratory system that's all fucked up.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
Which is why he has the two balls, because those are breathing devices for him.
Right, okay. His jet black finger stood out to me here just as gross.
No, that's the claw ring that acts as his shield.
Got it. Okay, cool. So from off screen, we hear Fade go, the slave wasn't drugged. And Austin Butler's back to doing his Stellan Skarsgård impression here.
And Stellan Skarsgård, a little bit of Elvis.
You know. Exactly. And when the camera does cut back to him, we see Fade with a little gaggle of goons behind him.
He's got the sleekest.
Oh yeah,
he's in his nighttime gown.
Yeah. The goons are in full armor.
Sure.
Behind him.
Well, you got to protect yourself while you're gooning, you know.
Exactly. And then there's a little group of like cowering attendants.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, it's Fade's toys, I guess. These are the.
Vladimir has his own toys as well that are standing off to the side of his soup receptacle, as it were.
Fade continues with, you tried to kill me, as a question. Stellan Skarsgård is great in this. I love his, like, just blasé attitude when he gets to turn that on. I love it. He really dismisses the accusation here and says, this morning you were a playboy, feared and envied, but tonight you're a hero. My gift to you. My gift to you. Which is true. I mean, that it was all part of, you know, the Baron's plans within plans.
Yeah.
To get Fade to be adored by the subjects instead of just, you know, we have to we got to follow his rule because he's, you know, the Baron's nephew, yada, yada. No, they want him to actually be liked.
Well, he wants him to be adored, but he also wanted to like truly test him and see if he's actually ready.
Yeah.
You know, and surprise, he is. And Fade responds to that gift with a very loving line where he says, I ought to drown you in that.
In the what?
The that's where I'm in it ends.
Damn.
Very rarely do we have a mid-word cutoff, but
yep.
We have to respect the minute. This is, in fact, the Dune minute.
Yeah, and that's where the minute ends.
Yeah.
We stop. Now, a couple of little book things here.
Okay.
So the Harkonnen soldier has wrestled the white blade away from Fade, which the one he thinks is poisoned. Fade shouts his Manchurian candidate word.
Scum.
Scum. To the soldier, makes him kind of go limp for a second, which is just enough time for Fade to take the black longsword, one that is actually poisoned, and to cut him across the chest.
Yeah.
This starts the poisoning process, and we get kind of just the death blows from this soldier, and he doesn't go down easy. He's still fighting as much as he can before the poison fully takes effect. And he says to Fade as he is dying, his struggling breath and his body shutting down. He says, one day, one of us will get you. And that is his last words as he falls down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Fade knows that he's not completely dead yet. So when he walks over to the soldier to deliver the final blow, he sees that the soldier fell on his own sword and technically killed himself.
Yeah.
In this. And Fade's pissed.
Sure. Well, yeah, I mean, he just took the thrill of the kill away from Fade.
Yeah. Yeah. So the crowd doesn't seem to care, though. In their eyes, Fade still got the killing blow.
Fade still won. He did it.
Fade is not satisfied with this, but the crowd seems to be. Now, the next thing that happens is the Finring and the Baron, they're having a conversation, and the crowd starts chanting, head, head, head. They want him to cut off the head of this soldier as a trophy or celebration.
Sure.
Fade does something a little bit different. He turns to his guards. Well, first he goes over to the body of the dead soldier and crosses his arms in a respectful manner.
Yeah.
And then he looks at the handlers, which in the handlers are the picadors in this case. He says, bury the slave intact with the knife in his hands. He earned it. So that act of, I would call that kindness, like from the books, that act of like respect and kindness gets him just monstrous cheers from the crowd. They fucking love it.
Yeah.
They say, not only is this guy a badass fighter, but he's respectful and he knows,
he's a just and honorable warrior. He's
just and honor. Yes. All those kinds of things. So, this is what causes Finring and, Hasimir and Margo Finring to really say, okay, he's got it.
All right, fine.
He knows how to be a leader. You know, he knows how to play to the crowd and to, you know, command the hearts of his subjects or whatever you want to call it.
Sure.
So they, they at this point they're in agreement. They kind of wander off or, you know, go off to do their thing. And then
they go to do Fenring things.
Yeah, right.
It's not sex.
It's something similar to it, I guess.
Maybe. Who knows?
The Baron is worried about this crowd, though. And he's worried about they're so amped up, they can't just end everything now without a death, basically.
Yeah.
There's been no release for the crowd. They've just been edging the entire time.
In typical Harkonnen fashion, obviously. Yeah.
So
Gunners are indeed edging over here on Gady Prime.
So the Baron calls for a fete, just a big celebration, and he is using that as a continuation of the celebration of Fade, and that is where, for the most part, the book chapter ends.
Yeah.
There's a little more conversation about or between Margot and Hazimir about, yeah, this whole plan of the undrugged soldier, this reeks of Hawat, is what they say, or stinks of Hawat. And then they talk about what they got to do to protect the seed of Fade, which is what we will get into later.
Yep, that's next week.
That is next week. So I feel like that's a pretty good transition. John, how'd you feel about this week?
It's a pretty good week.
Yeah.
It's very action-y.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of substance. But I think from a movie-going perspective, we haven't had a lot of action, like direct action, since the explosion of the spice reserves outside of Arakeen, and then Rabin's attempt to, you know, find Muad'Dib, and, you know, Muad'Dib dies today, right?
Yeah.
Except, spoilers, he doesn't. So, like, from a movie as a whole perspective, it's a good, like, wake up again, you know, kind of moment.
Exactly.
But I think, you know, for me, it's a 5.5 on the Shai-Hulud, just because, like, I don't know, from... There's a lot of action. There's not a lot of anything else that's going on here.
Okay.
And also, I mean, I feel like I have to dock some points for not having Hazimir Fenring.
Well, I think the movie itself gets docked points on that, not just this scene.
Sure, but this is, like, this is if we were to be introduced to him, this is where it would have been.
Yeah.
And I think Tim Blake Nelson would have been a fantastic Hazimir Fenring, and... It's a real fucking shame that we didn't get him in this final cut.
Yep. Or young Aaliyah. We don't really know which role he would have played. okay. Well, this is another instance of I'm going to rate it higher than you. I was going to go 6.5 on this one. I love seeing the choreography. Love spending time with your boy Lanville. Even though it is the last moments. We finally get to see him... Roger Wan through Lanville, just doing what they do best.
Yeah.
The stuff that we do see with Margot Fenring is brief but good.
We get introduced to her this week. Well, we will definitely have a lot more going on with her next week. But we get introduced to her, well, I guess technically last week, but
yeah,
we see more of her acting as Gaius Helen Moheim's eyes and ears on Gedi Prime throughout this celebration and everything.
Yeah. And it's, I don't know, it sets up the pieces for the rest of the movie, or at least the rest of the Gedi Prime scenes, super well. I mean, we get to see exactly how psychotic Fade is.
Mm-hmm.
If last week didn't tell you, this week for sure did.
Yeah. The laughing hysterically with the knife.
Yeah,
you know, pointed directly at his face, only inches away from death, kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. So this is a 6.5 week for me.
All right.
Cool. Well, what is on the horizon for the Dune Minute podcast?
It's just you and I next week.
Okay.
We will be back with more minutes. A very seductive week is coming up.
So happy.
Yeah. but yeah, it'll be you and I next week, and we'll be back with more episodes then. In the meantime, though, the Dune Minute is always online, and you can find us at DuneMinute.com on Blue Sky, and you can email DuneMinute@gmail.com if you'd like to get in touch with us that way. We will be back next week with more episodes to talk all about the post-fight interactions that Fade has with family and friends.
There we go. All right, we'll see you then.
See ya.